Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast. My name's Erin and I'm a hypnobirthing and antenatal instructor, birth activist and all-round birth geek. In this podcast, I chat to experts in the field of pregnancy and birth, debunking myths around birth, diving into the research around maternity care and exploring what is it that means you're more likely to have a positive birthing experience. If you enjoy this podcast, do feel free to buy me a coffee and fund my caffeine habit. Link to my Buy Me a Coffee page is in the podcast info. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Better Birth Podcast for season 7. And we're kicking off this season with a very exciting interview with my lovely friend Emma Armstrong, who is the naked doula.
Yay, but I'm not naked and I'm not going to get naked, so don't worry.
You could have lied and said you were naked. No, no.
I could have done that.
My job would have got an eye for.
Would have been nice to be naked when you're pregnant.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Again. I said I would have got to see in your lovely naked bump.
Oh, I know. Growing so much. So much so fast now because it's the third trimester and it's just, you start getting that feeling, don't you, where you're just like, oh, gosh, I'm just getting bigger. Everything's getting more difficult. And I really love to be active. I really love to be doing things. So.
And you pop out quicker every second, I think.
Oh, my God. I literally looked 20 weeks pregnant when I was 12 weeks.
same with my second and my third. There was no hiding my second pregnancy. Everyone knew straight away because I was just like baggy jumpers and not hiding anything. Yeah.
I think I was around 11 weeks when we got married and literally just managed to fit my dress on and my bump was hiding like under the bit because it was like more like a princess dress. Luckily, so it was hidden underneath, but oh my God. Absolutely ridiculous.
Exciting though. We'll get to your pregnancy and your birth, your next birth in a minute because I'm so excited to share with everybody what your plans are. But before we launch into that, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? I'm pretty sure that most people that listen to this are going to know who you are, but there may be the odd person who's been under a rock and doesn't know who you are. So do you want to introduce yourself and give us a little background of who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Emma. I'm more known as the Naked Doula. when people message me, not a lot of people tend to know the name, Emma. But I have, I've been a doula and a hypnobirthing practitioner and also sort of running this, the Naked Doula as a business for just over 3 years now. So obviously I've worked with clients one-to-one. I've worked with clients amazingly all over the world, especially during lockdown, which was actually a really nice opportunity to get into that sort of part of the world, the part of work. I think everyone did, didn't they? They sort of, you know, we went online to connect with people and that was really interesting. And my work basically is, it's very all about birth. It's very all about finding your power. It's fun. It's colourful. And it's all illustrated by me. So I like to make it really eye-popping. Sometimes it can be a bit shocking. Very real, sweary kind of language. But I just like to make it as much as I was having a conversation with a friend as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people really resonate with it because it's like talking to a mate. And that's exactly how I want people to feel comfortable and able to, you know, really discover themselves and their power throughout pregnancy to have a really confident, fun and informed birth.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And your stuff is so good. I mean, there is no mistaking like the Naked Doula brand. Like I could see one of your posts anywhere, or if there was a billboard, a Naked Doula billboard, I'd know straight away just from looking at it that it was your content because it is very eye-catching and it's very unique and your illustrations are very unique. I guess you must have started around about the same time as me then probably
So do you know, it's funny because when I look back, I mean, I've done all kinds of things. I've done all kinds of things. I've been a bit of a free spirit, if I'm honest, Erin. I've always been interested in childbirth. I've always been interested in, women's health, feminist issues and things like that. And funnily, I've sort of tried to start down the path. I mean, at one point I was looking at being a paramedic. Another time I actually almost went in the army to be a frontline paramedic kind of person. So that kind of thing has interested me. And then I tried to go to start my Access to University course in midwifery because I thought, yeah, that's great, but then I couldn't afford it. And I've literally, I feel like I've lived a bit of a I wouldn't say crazy actually. I'd say quite a large sort of variety of things in my life. I've been to different places, I've experienced different things, and it sort of led me to where I am today. But in my first, when I first got pregnant with Charlie, my mum had recently been diagnosed with cancer. Now, at the time, I was just doing some temporary work. I didn't really know what I wanted to do at the time. I've always been very lucky. I've always excelled in the places that I've worked, always had great opportunities. But yeah, so I was sort of trying to manage this new pregnancy, which felt really strange because we'd been trying for a year. I was literally about to give up. We'd booked. This is so funny. We'd been to New York and Vegas a couple of years prior for a family like wedding. And then I can remember we was like, you know what? Let's just stop now because the pressure's too much. Let's just, leave it. And we booked this amazing holiday. It was like, yeah, October, we're going to go to Vegas and we'll just have a really good time. Because we really like the atmosphere and stuff there. And then literally, as soon as we'd done that, about 2 weeks later, I was like, my period hasn't come. And he was like, no. And I was like, no, honestly, like I'm 5 days late. This is really weird. And I took a test and it was positive. And I thought, you know what? It's just that is literally how it happens all the time, isn't it? Like as soon as you're like, no. So then we had to obviously cancel Vegas because, like, which was a little bit like,
Not
oh,
quite the same when you're heavily pregnant.
yeah, sweet as that, but at the same time. And I continued working, but obviously I had the situation with my mum. And sort of as time went by, I don't know, it's sort of when you're in those situations, it kind of opens your eyes a bit more. And I started to think about, what am I doing? What am I sort of involved in? Like, why am I doing this work? What is my life's path? And I've always been one of those people who's been told, even as a child, you have to have a career, you have to have a career, you have to have a career. And I actually don't believe in that. I think that that's a really that can be quite a damaging statement to tell a child continuously over and over because everything I'd done prior to where I am now, I thought I was failing. I thought I was not being able to do anything or make it, to consistently. But it wasn't that. It was just because the way I am as a person and my personality is, going out there, investigating, finding what works, finding what doesn't work, having those experiences until something fits. So around 20 weeks pregnant with Charlie, I lost my job. And that was a bit of an upheaval because it wasn't really meant to happen as it did. And I had to start going down a legal route with that. So I had this legal situation going on. I had my mum who we'd been told she's just not going to make it. And I was pregnant with Charlie, with this baby. And I just thought, what the? Like, this is like the worst situation I could possibly be in right now. But I just continued through. And at that point, I was spending a lot of time with my mum. And I didn't realize at the time, but afterwards now, like after she'd passed, I realized that what I was doing with her was doulaing her. And it was so strange. like everything that I was doing, because I think when you're a doula, and doulas will understand this, naturally it's sort of something already naturally within you, and you tend to find that those who are doulas, they have been like that or that type of person for some time with other people, you know, and have the ability to be very level-headed, to be very calm, and to be able to manage different situations in a very calm and informed way. And this is exactly how I was during, you know, mum's sort of last months. And I would go and we would talk about really positive things, and, you know, it was very nice. It was really lovely, you know, really lovely. And on those days that it was difficult, you know, we'd speak about it. And I sort of became extremely, a lot stronger than I probably thought that I ever could have been. And I think watching her, like seeing how strong she was, I was absolutely blown away, actually, to be honest. I think you know that your parents are strong, don't you? You just see them and you're like, yeah, they're being strong. But it was like another level of strength. And I just thought, oh my God, like I've never seen her like that. Yeah. She's always said to me, Emma, you know, you're a lot stronger than me, you know, you're really strong and stuff. So seeing her like that and having this strength was very inspiring, I think. It was a strange word to use when someone's dying, but it was inspiring. So at 26 weeks, she passed away. And I can remember, I think she was really trying to hold on because she really wanted to be at the birth of my first child. Like that was literally all she wanted to do. Yes. And she was like, she was saying to the nurse, this was just a few days before, saying to the nurses, you know, no, I'm going to be at the birth. And I'm thinking, well, you're not, you're not, mum, but it's, you know, it's all right. I didn't say that obviously, but I was thinking, well, you're bloody not. And and that specific day when she was she got to a point where she was quite unresponsive, but they always say the hearing is the last thing to go. So I was always very mindful of that, very mindful of, you know, the situation, and very protective and advocating, and, you know, everything that a doula would do in that situation to hold that space. And I sat down with her on my own and I was like, Mum, it's all right. Like, I'm going to have this baby and I'm going to do it and you can go, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, really strong moment. And it was so weird as well, Erin, because, like, as I said that, and then I leant over to give her a kiss, like goodbye, and like without getting too like emotional about it, because it's just like such a strong moment. Yeah. I leant over to like give her a kiss goodbye, and it's almost like she managed to take a breath, like she went, like to acknowledge that she knew that I was there, even though she couldn't respond because her body was unresponsive. It was so bizarre. But it was like I knew that she knew. And I could see in her face, and I just thought, oh. So that evening she passed away. And then I was like, fucking, I can't fucking do this. I literally cannot give birth. I don't want to give birth. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anything to do with anything about giving birth. Like, I can't do it. Can't physically do it. And this happened like for, you know, about a week or so after. I was just like, what? Like, you know, it was a weight lifted off my shoulders, but I was just like, how am I going to do it? And I've been practicing hypnobirthing. And then I just started writing about pregnancy and experiences. And then I just started really getting a bit obsessed, probably, about birth. And at the same time, I'd reached out to Sophie Fletcher, because I was reading her books. She's the author of Mindful Hypnobirthing. And it turned out she was only down the road in Grantham. So she actually offered to be my doula, which was amazing. And that's when I really started to understand about what I'd been doing with my mum.
Yeah.
And I just got crazy obsessed. And I started building a personal platform on Instagram with other parents, sharing information about birth, which... This was before the Naked Doula started. Sharing information about birth, which I could not believe that we thought we thought we knew, even just simple things, Erin, like you know, your water's breaking. You know, such a simple thing, isn't it, that we all think that, you know, if you're not educated at all in that area, even if you are slightly, a lot of people still believe that this is what happens first. Your waters break. That's a very generalized thing, isn't it? Your waters break, then you go into labor and you have a baby, and you go into hospital and you lie down on a bed and people hold your legs up in the air, and then you have helped birthing your baby, and you push your baby out because that's what you need to do. And I was so shocked. I can remember feeling so shocked and naive. I couldn't believe that what my picture was, even though I was really interested in those issues, I've never delved into birth in that way. I could not believe what I was seeing. I was shocked. And I was like, shit, like this, what? Like, I need to start sharing stuff with people. So I started having conversations, found other, you know, parents to be that had lost their parents, and started building a bit of a community. And you know, groups of people that would come together, and it was really nice. But I knew I wanted to continue this further. It was like a fire inside of me. And I sat down with Adam, and I said to him, listen, I don't think you understand like what I'm about to do. And he was like, what are you on about? And I was like, no, I said, it's inside me. There's this fire inside of me, and it's mum's gift of her leaving. This is a fire, and I'm going to follow this through now, and it's going to be big. And he was like, babe, just, you know, do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever, you know, as you do. Do whatever makes you happy. So I literally threw myself into, whilst I was, you know, so pregnant, threw myself into the hypnobirthing, and then the hypnobirthing training. And then when Charlie was born, I literally threw myself straight into doula training, and I just did all of that with him on me. It just came to me, just these things were just coming to me, and it was the naked doula, and I had to start putting stuff out there like straight away. And I was, do you know what, at the time I was one advised, like, you know, maybe not a great idea because you're not going to get anywhere really with it. I was also told, you know, don't share anything, don't really share all this amazing information, because then what else, you know, could they possibly learn? And I literally went against all the grains, and I was like, I don't give a shit, because I'm not trying to make a profit out of people. I don't care. I actually do not give a shit whether people spend the money or not. What I'm bothered about is getting a message out there that is clear, which is fun, which is, you know, simplified, so those people can then find their fire and have a positive birth experience. That's all I give a shit about, literally. And you know, and I came up, like, you know, quite a few challenges, you know, surrounding my method of sharing. And then when I started sharing, I don't know when you came across me, Erin, but when I started sharing my work, it was quite shocking for a lot of people, because back then in the birth world, swearing wasn't really used. It wasn't used, definitely not in posts. I just want to say it was not used. I can remember thinking, fucking hell, how is this going to go? Like, people are either going to think, who is this person? Or they're gonna think, oh yeah, this is great. And I was scared. I was really scared about it. I was like, I don't know how people are gonna take this, but this is where I wanna go. So I started putting posts out there which were really sweary and talking about vaginas and saying fucking and shit and you know, fuck's sake and whatever else, you know, I was using at the time. But just as I would in my normal vocabulary, I'm just that person. You know, that's how I speak. I use swear words a lot. I used to be told that that was a bad thing, but It's not, because it's who I am, and it's what makes me me, and what makes the work so authentic. So I start putting it out there, and it's so funny because it obviously started catching like people's attention. Some people liked it. Some people found it a bit uncomfortable, which is fine. That's absolutely fine. Even still now, people feel uncomfortable with certain things that I post, or share or talk about. And yeah, from sort of that point, it started to grow really fast, organically. I was booked out of my classes week on week. At the same time, I don't know how I managed to do this, at the same time, I was having so many issues with Charlie. As you know, from personally from talking, he had multiple allergies, he had, you know, multiple problems. And, you know, I can talk about his birth in a second. But yeah, he had multiple issues. But and I was crying a lot because I was grieving. But at the same time, I had this fire. And I think this was the one thing that was keeping me going really, really strong. And it just grew and grew and became more popular. The flashcards came out, the course came out, and the rest is history. And now so many people use language which is free to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying people followed suit. I'm just saying I feel like in the birth world.
You made it okay.
Yeah, in the birth world, I think it showed
to be authentic.
Yeah, it showed people that it's okay to talk about birth just as you would talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
In a very normal way. We don't need to be using specific, you know, we don't need to be not using a swear word, you know, because we feel that we can't really do that. That all that's doing is literally saying that we should be, you know, very timid and everything.
Missive, polite little girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Polite little girls that are doing everything that they should do. And when they go into birth, this is exactly what you should do. And you should keep your mouth shut and just smile and be pretty. No.
That's why I like your stuff, and I think that's, you know, I've experienced similar challenges when I started. You know, I trained to do hypnobirthing, and you know, I think the traditional hypnobirthing style is very toxic positivity, very nicey nicey, sugarcoating birth. You know, only showing the nice, you know, pretty, you know, euphoric side of birth.
Yeah,
kind of shunning and ignoring the trauma and the gritty side of birth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's healthy. I don't think that's helpful.
No,
it's not preparing people properly.
No. And it gives hypnobirthing a bad name.
Yes.
So then what you have is this whole like generalized, you know, generalization of hypnobirthing of being dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But whilst you are right, that very old school way of hypnobirthing, and let's brush everything under the carpet, and if you listen to these MP3s, you're going to have a positive birth, that's a load of bullshit. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work like that. And do you know, funnily enough, I'm so glad you said that, Erin, because I really benefited from doing mindful hypnobirthing. But I'm a very different person from Sophie. We're very different people. And I really like to talk about the brain. I really like to talk about the effects and in a very fun sort of scientific way of the anatomy and physiology of how that works. Because what I realized is we're all so different, and we all have different experiences. We all have different feelings. We all have different connections in our brain. We all resonate with different things. So how can we possibly say to someone, listen to this music, listen to this MP3, do this, do that, and that will help you? Because it's absolutely, how is that? It's not possible.
It doesn't work like that.
It's not possible.
It's not. And it's exactly what I said when I did my taster session at the weekend. You know, we were talking about, because everyone comes on to my taster sessions to find out about hypnobirthing. And I'm like, yes, this is the traditional hypnobirthing. You get the MP3s, you use the breathing techniques, you use the positive reinforcement, the visualizations.
Yeah.
But what I think is different about what I teach is that I teach you about birth planning and all the evidence and research behind all of the drugs and medical interventions and induction and birth positions and the physiology and the biomechanics and how to advocate for yourself. Because
yeah,
if you just do just the hypnobirthing and you just listen to some MP3s, you can very well still have a very, very traumatic birth. Because you're not prepared properly.
Yeah.
You need all of that other information to make good decisions and to feel in control and to understand what's going on and navigate the NHS, which is quite frankly a fucking mess. You know, that all of that needs to go together. And I think that's one thing that I really like about your account is that, you know, you don't sugarcoat things. You do it in a really accessible, you know, fun way, but it's transparent, you know. Yeah. It's not, you know, this is, you know, doing and you're going to have an
exactly. And it's not about, can you know, oh, you didn't manage a natural birth, or you haven't had an unmedicated birth, so I'm going to cancel you out. It's not, listen, I don't give a shit about how people give birth in that respect, Erin. We make our own choices. All that I want to do, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is give people the tools and the information and the techniques to be able to manage whatever path they choose to go down. You know? And I can say that because these two births are going to be very different. My first birth was a C-section. This is why when people, you know, if people do try and say, oh, you know, well, you know, you talk a lot about physiological birth, and I'm like, listen, I've been at the end, other end of the scale, just like you have, Erin, with birth, and you know, I can talk about that, and I can talk about this. But what I do and my decisions and my choices are nothing to do with anybody else. My opinions are my opinions. But what we're here to do, or what, you know, and with my work that I put out there is, listen, here's the stuff, here's the information, do what you want with it. Go out there, empower yourself, because I can't empower you. No one can empower you but yourself. And then, excuse me, make the best decisions that are for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you mentioned that your two births are going to be very different. What's your hopes for this pregnancy and this birth? Because you're due fairly soon now, aren't you?
Yeah. So yeah, not too long to go. I'm really excited. So do you want me to just give an overview of Charlie's birth? So Charlie was born via C-section. He was breech. But just to give a background, and, you know, this is not at all to make anyone feel, you know, any certain way about their pregnancy. But when we have a lot going on, when we have a lot of stress, when we have a lot of tension in our bodies, it does affect our baby. It affects our baby's positioning. It affects what's going on inside of our body physiologically. And that affected my baby. It affected, you know, affected his positioning. It affected, you know, how he was laying inside of the womb. And he was Frank breech. So he was literally folded in half. And they didn't know this. I only found out from a private scan. And his head was literally, and I wondered why I was struggling to breathe so much. His head was right up in my ribs. Now, at that time, I couldn't fucking believe it because I really wanted a home birth. I really wanted a vaginal home birth. That was what my sort of plans were. And, you know, that's what I was going to try and go for. Only because I knew a lot about birth at that time. Not anywhere near as the experience I have now, you know, because this was at the very start. But I, you know, I wanted this home birth and this experience. My mum had had a very straightforward birth with me, and I wanted to experience that, and I wanted to have her in my head and in my, you know, my birth, spiritually. So I was a bit like, oh shit, like what can I do? But you know, when I look back, because they offered me ECV, which obviously to turn in, but I decided against that because I personally, I just don't like the forcefulness of moving, even though it's 50% effective. For some people, it works really well. But I'm a firm believer that there's a reason that the baby is in the position they're in. And for me, it just didn't feel right at the time. So I decided against it. And I did have lots of other options, you know, positionings and things like that that I could do. And I did try, but do you know what? I didn't try that hard. And it, do you know, and I wouldn't have admitted that at the time, but I didn't try that hard. I could have tried a lot harder to turn that baby, but I didn't. I think because at that point, so much had gone on that I would just sat back and thought, I'm just accepting what's happening here. I'm accepting that he's breech, and I'm just going to accept that I'm going to have a C-section, but I'm going to make it the best fucking C-section that there could ever possibly be. And this is when the conversation started happening with the consultant about my, you know, my wants and needs, and they did push, you know, of course they pushed back. It wasn't the most easiest process, but I asked for what I asked for, which was, you know, the dimmed lighting, the being able to have my doula with me, to be able to have sentimental items, music, you know, essential oils. I wanted. It's great, really, because I think everyone should be that bridezilla that people turn into for weddings. This is what you should be like in birth. I'm telling you, this is your birth. Like, you should be a birthzilla, and you have every right to do that. And I said, I don't want any talking when the baby comes out. I don't want anyone to say anything. I want the first voice my baby to hear is mine, skin to skin. I literally wanted it all. So I had the conversations back and forth, and we agreed on most of the things. One of the things that was questionable was the vaginal seeding, which now I really fucking wish so bad that I'd pushed for. But at the time, I didn't know a massive amount. I knew about microbiome. I'd done some research on it, but and this is, I think this is so prevalent as well. When we are on the fence, when we know stuff, but we don't. No, we haven't really made ourselves confident about it. That's when we start going, okay, and we start accepting other people or care providers' opinions over our own. And that I just want to point that out, because when we do feel confident, really confident about something, then we can implement and we feel more safer and more confident to implement what we want. So I went in, you know, had this amazing, absolutely euphoric experience. It was a beautiful C-section. I had my placenta delivered with the baby. I had, you know, optimal cord clamping. I had all the things that I wished for, apart from the vaginal seeding. Even though I had a bit of a pushback from the anaesthetist. I can't always say that word beforehand, but pretty much, you know, it was a really great experience for a C-section. But I fucking literally, I was like, I need to have it like this, because if I don't, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's just not going to work for me. So I had that with Charlie, and it was really great experience. However, because of the C-section, because of the you know, lack of bacteria that Charlie got through the vaginal canal, through the fact that I had antibiotics, through the fact that even after I had two infections following and I had more antibiotics and more antibiotics, all these things contributed to Charlie's severe allergies. And that's not just me making that up. That's
No, it's a thing.
absolute
That's why I'm
science.
allergies.
It's
Definitely.
absolute science. Along with the fact that I did not eat properly in pregnancy. I didn't eat properly in pregnancy. Still, even now, I struggle to be this super healthy person. I'm not going to lie. You know, if I was to sit here and go, I'm the best person at eating all this amazing stuff for pregnancy, I'm not. I'm very normal, but I do try my best and take probiotics and you know, do what I can for this baby. But yeah, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It was the worst experience. I didn't enjoy that at all. I didn't enjoy the newborn stage I hated it because I was scared to go anywhere. I was worried about him crying. I was worried about what people were saying. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with him because he'd be crying, you know, all the time, upset or have this like bad reflux. And then the pediatrician told me I was crazy, and other people were telling me like I'm crazy. I'm just, you know, it's because you've lost your mum, you know, blah, blah, blah. 3 months in, we ended up in A&E at the height of COVID, and they were like, he has severe milk allergies. And everyone else had been telling me I'm crazy for 3 months, telling me can't breastfeed, telling me this, telling me that. And that was really demeaning. It was really difficult. I was grieving my mum, and it was just shit. It was so shit. But it was what it was. It was what it was. And I completely accept and I understand, you know, a lot of the things and why they were. But it doesn't take away from my birth experience. I'd do that all again in a heartbeat. But this time around, my baby is in a really good position. He's had lots of room. I've taken all the possible, you know, precautions throughout this pregnancy to ensure that he has the best possible space. I've been seeing an osteopath. I've been making sure my pelvis is aligned, make sure everything, you know, is best it can be. And I know then, if still I've done absolutely everything in my power to ensure that my body's in a good way for this birth and this baby ends up being breached, then it ends up being breached. There is a reason that he is like that. There's a reason that my baby is breached at the time of birth. And, you know, that's a choice that I will make, you know, nearer the time. But at the moment, optimal position, head down, and I'm going for my home birth. And I'm really so excited. I can't even express, Erin, the excitement I feel about birth or labor or contractions. I mean, you've heard me talk about it before, but it's so fucking amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait. So excited. Don't plan to use anything apart from myself, my intuition, my body. Obviously, floppy face, floppy fanny, my breathing techniques that I talk about on the page. And I think the most exciting thing for me is when I'm crowning and I know I'm stretching and I'm opening and my body is creating this, you know, this beautiful opening from the womb to earth, like, and my baby's gonna come, and he's just gonna come out, and I'm gonna lift him up to my chest. And that for me is just gonna be just the best thing, best thing. Because vaginal birth, the reason it's made, the reason we're made to give birth vaginally like this is to have this experience. It's not about, oh, you've got to put yourself through a load of shit. It's not. It's a really powerful experience. You are changing. You are transforming as a person when this is happening. You know, you will never be the same again after you give birth, once, twice, however many times. You are literally sort of rebirthing yourself when you're birthing this baby, and that's incredible. When you understand, as you know, how to work with your body, how to understand it, what is actually happening inside, it's such a beautiful vision. You know, I can't wait until those surges, those contractions are coming, and I know all I'm going to be able to see in my head is this beautiful uterus, like muscles just contracting. I'm, you know, helping to dilate my cervix. And I just can't, I just find it so, oh, I
Wouldn't it
love
be
it.
so wonderful if everybody had that level of excitement though when they were pregnant at the prospect of giving birth, rather than feeling terrified and dreading it, which is a really common feeling that most people feel when they know that they've got to give birth. They're like, I'm really excited to meet my baby, but oh God, I've got to get through labor first and I've got to give birth to them, and they dread it. You know, it's heartbreaking because we are designed to give birth. We're designed to feel euphoria after we give birth. We're designed to want to have more than one baby. That genetically,
yeah,
that's the whole point of the success of our species, right?
Exactly.
You feel that euphoria
Exactly.
to have an amazing experience. And it's just, it's society and the media and that conditioning that we've had decades and hundreds of thousands of years of, quite frankly, the patriarchy telling us that we can't do it and telling us it's really risky, that has conditioned us all to completely dread giving birth.
Yeah. And then it's programmed into our heads. When we spend all of our lives seeing things, listening to things, you know, having stories, watching TV programs, we grow up with this conditioning in our minds. So then what we have to do throughout pregnancy is unlearn. And that's hard. We have to unlearn and relearn. And that's where the hypnobirthing really helps with the reframing and makes a massive difference. But you have to want to. You have to want to. Otherwise, there's absolutely no point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to want to relearn. And I think, you know, how could I not? And the thing is, you know, people may have different opinions, but I can tell you now, I have worked with a number of clients. I have experienced, you know, highs, lows, different types of births, different kinds of situations, baby loss. You know, it's not, I'm not sitting here talking as if I, you know, I'm in a fantasy land.
Mm.
I understand birth. I understand birth as unpredictable as it can be. Yet, regardless of those things, I am confident and I'm excited. And this is a big point, isn't it? Because regardless of you know, the situations, I'm confident, I'm excited. And do you know what? I absolutely believe in myself. I believe in my body. I believe that I am going to have my baby the way I want to have my baby. However, if that isn't quite how it goes at the time, I'm also really comfortable with the fact that my body will signal to me if there's something not right or something happens, or, you know, I'm not, you know, blindsided. I'm not going to go, oh, that's it. You know, I'm fucking devastated, because, you know, I will go with what I need to go with. If that ends up in a C-section, it ends up in a C-section. I'll make that the best possible C-section I ever can. Like, just like I did with Charlie, you know, if that's what happens. You know, I'm completely fine with that, because I can make informed decisions and I can be confident in my choices. And this is the point when it comes to birth.
Mm-hmm.
Having the belief, being confident, being able to make them choices, but also really understanding your body. I'm so excited for my body to tell me and do what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't quite work out like that, then I know that there's just something that's not quite right. And that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
No, we have to listen to what our bodies are telling us. If something's not right, it's not right.
Yeah.
But no, I fully plan to be at home. I plan to have a pool. Whether I'll give birth in the pool, I don't know. It feels very primal for me to be on land when I'm birthing my baby. And I just cannot wait.
Very excited. I can't wait to hear all about it. I'm so excited.
I know. I can't wait to share my videos. I can't wait for people to, you know, to experience that with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, birth is very, 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 it's very sacred. But I will share what I can from my birth mm-hmm. with as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, things like crowning and, you know, parts of birth where people really fear.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share that, and I want people to see it in a different light. You know, I want them to see it as a beautiful thing that's happening to your body, that your body is providing this stretching and this space for your baby to be born. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm so excited to see it and then hear it. And I think it's fantastic that you're willing to share it, because again, it's demystifying birth, isn't it? It's showing people that birth can be a certain way, and we don't see enough of it. Which is why people fear it. It's the fear of the unknown and the fear
yeah.
of, you know, that kind of negative representation of birth. So yeah, I'm excited to hear about it.
I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait. I literally am going to be so excited. But I'm going to be so excited, I think, to the point where I'll be like, nah, this is not happening. Yeah, listen,
You're being
honestly,
denial.
I'm telling you now, 100%, I'm going to be like, nah, it's just niggles. Just niggles. And then I'll be like, shit. Shit, I think the baby's gone.
That's what happened to some of my clients. One of my clients, actually, her birth story is on the podcast. She sent me her birth story over WhatsApp as a voice note, and I was screaming at my phone, going, "Oh my god, you're in labor! Why?" Because she was like, "This can't be it. This is fine. I feel fine. Like this. I feel fine." And then she started feeling the urge to push, and she was like, "Oh shit! No, actually, I think I'm in labor. Fill the pool up."
Yeah, literally. So, I love it when I get stories like that. I love it. I love it because I'm like, you know what? Like these people, like, you know, they, you know, even when, you know, you don't think you might know it is or whatever, but people still just carry on. You know, if it's nighttime, just go to sleep. If it's daytime, just carry on what you're doing. You know, it's a great way for that sort of first stages of labor. Such a great way because we, you know, if you start trying to put lots of energy into that, those first
stages, chasing labor,
so tired. No, just carry on. Normal. Yeah, I really do think I was talking about it the other day and I was thinking, God, I'm not, and I won't even tell anyone either because I'll just be doing stuff. Yes. And then I'll end up going, oh shit, Adam, I think. Oh, actually, I did say to him the other day, I said, I'll probably end up just giving birth. And I'll be like, oh shit.
Oh, baby's here. By the way.
And I'll be like, babe. George is here. Name's George. George is here. He'll be like, "You're fucking joking." Sorry, mate. I didn't know it was happening. It just happened.
Too quick.
Oh dear. Yeah.
So, if people don't follow you already, I'm sure. Where can they find you online?
So you can find me on Instagram, predominantly. Also on Facebook, all under the Naked Doula. Also, I have an app, so that's available on Apple and Android as well. So people can go download that. There's lots of like events. Erin's on there talking about induction, and yeah, lots of amazing things on there, and just really feel good imagery and confidence boosters. And I'll be sharing my birth on there as well, which will be really nice. But I think you've got to see it to understand it. You know, it's hard, isn't it, to explain sometimes, but you have to see it to believe it and to understand it.
Yeah. So everyone needs to go and give you a follow and download the app. It is a wealth of information in there. I mean, it's a really, really good app. Everyone should be downloading the app.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm going to be following when you go into labor. And you,
I know. I feel like I've just been talking at you, Erin, for like.
No, that's what the podcast is. Like, people don't want to hear about me. They want to hear about you. So thank you for sharing your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Fun. Okay, take care.
Thank you, Erin. Bye.
The Better Birth podcast and all of its content is for educational and informational purposes only. You should consult your midwife or your doctor for anything in relation to your own pregnancy and birth. The opinions and the views of the guests on the Better Birth podcast are their own opinions and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Better Birth or Erin Fung.